So a fellow went in to get an operation. And not just any operation. He was going to be operated on by his world-renowned Dr. Sun. Great surgeon. The man was nervous, obviously. And he talked to his son, and his son sat down and explained everything to him. He said, "This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and everything will be all right, Dad." So the day come, and they prepped him up, and they put him down on the table. And just as the anesthesiologist was about to put the mask on him and start him counting back, the man said, "Whoa! Wait a minute, son. Wait a minute." He held his son tenderly by the arm, looked at him in the eyes in those last moments before the surgery would start, and said, "Son, I love you. And just remember, if anything goes wrong, your mother will be coming to live with you." Father in heaven, it is these quiet times that we find ourselves awestruck with you. It is in those moments that we actually stop and dwell upon you and your Son and the presence therein that we find ourselves humbled and yet covered with such grace that we cannot see the ends of it. It's boundless. So here right now, let us as brothers and sisters, let us as one faith come together and join our hearts to hear you in this quietness. Prayer for thanks, Father, for those things that we have been watching grow and for those things that have been carrying us into unknown depths. Prayer has been answered, Father, and blessings have been received, and so thank you. And for those that are facing the unknown, whether it be surgery, a trip somewhere, something that's going on in their life that they haven't shared, that you know all about, we ask that our prayers be heard and strengthen them, Father. For those searching for you, in any corner, in every place, for those that are lost and alone and afraid, Father, let us also set aside our prayer time to not just ask for ourselves, but also for those to be found. And thank you for the little children, Father. We don't thank enough. Their hearts, their mind, their eyes, their wisdom, their wonder leads us. More so, more often than we often stop to think about it, as your Son so eloquently put it, "Do not keep them away, for they are like the gates of heaven." Thank you, Father, for this church, for these times that we spend together, for being able to be here, for the freedom to share, and for the strengthening that will come from it, Father. For the leaders of this country, for the school teachers, for the Sunday school teachers, for the police, for the doctors, the nurses, the fire and rescue personnel, our military, Father. Give them the grace, commitment, the mercy. Give them the leading, the direction, the guidance. Give them the opportunity to be safe in what they do to protect us, to help us, to sometimes even cure us. All given from you, Father. Let us join our hearts together and pray as Jesus would have us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today starts in Hebrews chapter 4. And you can find that on page 1866 of your pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Paul in writing, talking about us, beginning our sermon today, you are not weak. Regardless. As he writes these words to Hebrews, I thought it was a pretty poignant thing to set our tone. Let us see what he says about Jesus, the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Paul writing to the Hebrews. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, open our minds. Let us focus wholly and completely here today on you. Let us get from this message what you would have. Let it strengthen hearts. Let it go to those in this room that may need to hear a little extra. Let it wake them up, that we may take this message from here, proclaiming your Son and the salvation therein. Use me today, Father. These are your words, not mine. Let them have your strength, your mercy, your grace. All for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across this story, which seemed to set me in the right tone for this message. You are not weak. And it was funny. I got a couple of compliments on the fact that I actually was able to get the sermon title put together and get it in the paper this time. Well, the funny thing was, this sermon came as I was finishing up speaking last Sunday's, the idea hit me. That's unusual, happily, but that's unusual. Usually I got to wait and do a lot of prayer, but this one followed out. You are not weak. A few years ago, they came across this story of a 10-year-old boy who decided he wanted to study judo. Now, you know what judo is. That's throwing people around. But he wanted to study judo, which is not unusual for a 10-year-old boy to want to learn that. Seems like a fun thing at times. See, the fact is, this young boy had lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. Lost it. Yet he determined he wanted to study judo. And nobody would give him a chance. Finally, his parents found an old Japanese judo master, and they talked to him. And he agreed to take the young man under his wing and teach him judo. Now, the boy was in training and had been going at it for a while and was doing fantastically. But he couldn't understand it why, after 3 months of training, the master had taught him simply one move. One move. One day, the boy looked at him and said, "Teacher, shouldn't I be learning more moves?" "There's only one move you need to know. And it's the only move you'll ever need to know," is what the teacher told him. Now the boy, not quite understanding it, decided to show the faith and kept on training and believed in his teacher. And after a year, the teacher took the boy to his first tournament just to show him what he had learned. Now, surprising himself, the boy won his first two matches just like that. Just simple, quick, easy. Now, the third match was harder. And after fighting for a while, his opponent became mad and impatient and charged at him. And the boy used the only move he ever knew, and he won his match. Still amazed by his success, now this boy's in the finals. This time his opponent was bigger and stronger and meaner and much more experienced. And for a while, the boy was appearing to be overmatched. Concerned that he might get hurt, the referees actually stopped the game, pulled the teacher over and said, "Look, you can't do this. Are you sure?" And the teacher said, "No. You let him fight. You let him continue." Soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard, and instantly, the boy used the only move he knew to take him down and pin him. The boy had won the match and the tournament and was the champion. On the way home, the boy and the teacher reviewed every move that was used at every match. And finally, the boy, with a little bit of courage, looked to his teacher and asked him, "How did you know I would win this tournament with only one move?" "You won for two reasons," the teacher answered. "First, you've mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And secondly, the only defense known for the move that you have learned is that your opponent must grab your left arm." The boy's biggest weakness had become his strength. Brothers and sisters, I say today that you have no weakness that is not your strength. The only weakness that the boy had was his strength. The only weakness that we have with faith in Jesus Christ is our strength. At the weakest point, he became the strongest. Last week, after my sermon, I felt like I had touched a great many people in here. And it seemed like it. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was super present in here. And so it's time for you to know my biggest weakness, the biggest one, because I have a lot of weak points, and it's a long list, and if I allowed people to get up here and talk about my weaknesses, we'd miss lunch. But I have one that drives me constantly. I have a major weakness. It keeps me fearful, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that one day I will lose my ability to preach. Now, I'm not talking about the physical part of it, whether I might go blind one day or might not be able to stand or lose part of my hearing. That don't bother me. I ain't scared of that. I'll have them prop me up, lead me forward, whatever. One of the greatest preachers I've ever heard is a fellow by the name of Fred Craddock. And Fred walks out on his sermons and he puts out a piece of paper and never looks down. And he leans because he can't stand anymore against the pulpit. And he goes at it, and Fred's 80 years plus old. No, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the physical. I have a weakness that produces a fear in me that one day I'm going to wake up and the ability to preach will be gone. That one day that I will not find anything with me, in me, anywhere screaming, "Preach about this." That one day that little spark, that something that God gives me that allows me to get up here and talk about Him and about His Son Jesus will one day vanish. That's my weakness. And that is a fear and a strength. And because of that, I am not weak. In short, I'm afraid, and that makes me weak. But yet not. You see, I learned a little bit about something this week. I was listening to a radio show, and it was talking about how this country is allowing itself to become weak, to become a lightweight country, to become sissified, was one of the terms the guy used. Of course, that caught my attention. I love to hear when somebody talks about that, because I want to hear what they're thinking. And so I kept listening, and there was a couple fellas on the radio program talking, and they were supposed to have education, and they were supposed to be smarter, and that's why they were on the radio. And so I kept on listening because I want to get smart too. I don't want to be dumb all of my life. I wanted to get an education. He said, "This was once a great country because we showed no fear of anyone. We were once respected, and how that has fallen away, and all because of certain things that we're doing now has caused us to become weak." And here's what struck me funny that they said causes you to become weak. Hugging. Hugging. Men don't hug. That's a sign of weakness. Men don't grab one another and put their arms around them and give them a hug and say, "How you doing?" You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to shake hands. That's manly. Hugging. Oh, now they have my full attention. Because I never liked to hug until I found out how cool it is. looking right at your brother or sister in Christ and telling them, I love you. You ain't supposed to do that. That's a sign of weakness. That shows emotion. I love you. And I do. That's weakness. That's causing us to get things away. Taking a moment to say, I forgive you. You're forgiven. I forgive you. Stopping to hear what children have to say. Little children. Now these are what these guys are saying is making this country weak. Or for what a younger person thinks. Or a teenager. Or somebody under the age of 30. If you stop and take your time and listen to them, then you're showing weakness because they ain't learned nothing yet. Or volunteering your time to help those who have fallen. Or accepting a person that has faults. Accepting a person that has fallen. You're showing a sign of weakness. Someone who is different for whatever reason. Someone who has sinned. And the last one, and I'm hearing this, churches today are becoming less and less accepting of the sinner. What? Of the sinner. As if to get through that door, you have to quit sinning. Well, I'm guessing I should leave now. Because I am a sinner. I'm getting better at it. I'm overcoming certain weaknesses, like when the boys last night went to sleep. You see, Mikey's staying with us. Wendy's already covering her face. I pulled my camper out and set up Camp Leatherman out in the front yard. Cleaned the camper out, gave them rooms. They're out there camping in their clubhouse. They're having a good time. And last night when it got dark and they went to bed, I wanted to sneak out that door and throw a pack of firecrackers underneath the camper. I didn't. But it would have been funny. No, it wouldn't have been. Tonight could be a different story. I struggle to overcome my weaknesses so that I may not be weak. But there are churches today that are becoming more and more of the vein where they don't accept the sinner. How is that possible? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the weak, for in me you are strong, says Jesus. Amen. That's what he's saying. For as weak as you can be, your faith in me makes you strong and takes those weaknesses and turns them into strength. And it's one of the most heartbreaking things for me to hear when somebody says, I've had all I can take, I don't think I can go on any further. And even I have done the thing where I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I cannot keep on praying, and I feel weakened. Oftentimes, I don't know how to respond to that. I don't, because I'm a fixer. Who in this room, men, are fixers? The minute your wife says something, you want to be, you put his hand up, right? All men in this room better put their hand up. The woman says, it's cold, and you get up and start the furnace in June. Right? We're fixers by nature. But when I hear that, I sometimes don't know what to do. I have to respond that this is your move. This is what you're supposed to keep doing. This is what will take you away from the weakness when it's His time. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep going. Strengthen yourself in prayer like that little boy. We find ourselves we're expecting it. You know how it is. You pray. Father, I'd like to see some rain. You expect to open the door up the next day and see the rain clouds forming. And they don't. Keep praying. Keep going through your weakness. We expect everything right away. And yet the very thing that makes us falter causes us to rely more and more on Jesus Christ, our Savior, to save us, to strengthen us. You are not weak. Regardless of what's going on in your life right now. And I don't know everything. You're not weak. You know, I'll tell you how I know you're not weak. You're sitting in this room looking. That's amen. You came here today. If you were really truly weak and not trying, you wouldn't have made it. You are not weak. You know the answer. Just fail to see it on occasion. And you have weaknesses. And you need to know them. And you need to embrace them. And you need to look for the Lord to save you from them. And you should know your own weaknesses, but you should be a little careful. You know, there was a story about a fellow that was in high school. And he wanted to play football for Notre Dame so bad that he wrote up a letter and signed his coach's name to it and sent it off, touting himself as the best football player in all of his high school's history and forevermore. And Notre Dame got the letter, and they were so impressed by this letter from the coach that they flew him up there, and they told him that they had gotten a letter saying that he was the best football player. And he said, "Well, I don't like to brag, but I do pretty good." They said, "We hear that you run pretty fast. Can you run 110 seconds? He said to them, "Well, last time I ran it, I did it in 9.2. They replied, "That's unreal. We heard that you can kick a football pretty good." He said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I can kick a football so hard that two times in the last 3 weeks, when I kicked the football, it blew apart." They said, "That's unbelievable. What else can you do?" He said, "Well, I can throw the football 70 yards in the air with pinpoint accuracy. I can run the ball. I can tackle. I can block. There's not anything I can't do on a football team." The coach said, "Well, now there's got to be a problem somewhere. I'll bet you're so stupid you couldn't make the grades necessary to stay on the team. If we gave you a scholarship, you'd flunk out." And the boy said, "No, I'm a straight A student. I've been a straight A student ever since I was in kindergarten. I've never made anything but straight A's on everything I've done." Finally, the coach said, "I just can't believe it. Don't you have at least one weakness? There's got to be one weakness in your life. Tell us your weakness." And the boy sat back in his chair and he thought about it for a minute and he rubbed his chin and he looked at the coach and he said, "Well, I do lie a lot." Don't let your weaknesses run away from you in that aspect. But know them. I know mine. I know mine. I can give you the list. I can give you the short version. If you want the long version, catch Wendy. You have the strength that had been showed through you. In Paul writing in 2 Corinthians, in the 13th chapter, Paul writes these words, "For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him, yet by God's power we will live with Him to serve you." Strength. Jesus showed weakness. He showed the overcoming of weakness. He showed that power, that strength. I know that we all want answers to prayer when we pray it, and we want them now. It doesn't come. The day Frederick County fired me for saying the nasty things I said about women and other races and everything, on that day, I spent 2 hours plus begging God not to do this. I spent the next week every night praying as hard as I could go, praying like I've never prayed in my life. Don't take this from me. My weakness turned into my strength. The only way I have it is because of Him. God gives us the strength to get over our weaknesses by allowing His will to be done in us just like it was done in His Son. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Listen to these words. "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but Yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus, fighting through weakness. He knew what was coming, and He knew what had to happen to Him, and yet did He ask? He asked for the will to be done. How many people, and it's funny because we studied it in Sunday school today, how many people, if you knew what was going to happen to you tomorrow, would bother to get out of bed? Nobody. And yet, Jesus knew. He allowed God to show His strength. He allowed it to be an example for us. And He asked again, even later on when He was crucified, the moment of weakness. Just the moment. Mark writes about it. At the sixth hour, when darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have You forsaken me?" That's a picture of weakness followed by strength. That's us. And we're weak. Too many things can pull us down from the way we want life to be. My weaknesses, I get mad and I have a temper. I say things I ought not to about people who I call friends. We get sick, we get tired, we start to give up hope. And yet, because we have the One who lives for us, who died for us, we are not weak. Regardless of those moments, brothers. Regardless of that time, sisters, when you think you're being weak because you're crying out in pain, no! You're being heard. You're being strengthened. You're being ministered to. I want to be weak. I want to hug my friends. I like hugging. I've told you how I used to hug. And I wasn't never thought much of that, and I'd come up to you and I'd put an arm around you and kind of touch your back like, "How you doing?" Wouldn't never lift the left arm, just hold on to you a little bit. Now, if you see me coming and you deign to hug me, you better get ready. Because I can get around you like a bear and I can pull you tight. And that's a blessing. I want to hug my enemies. I want to look everyone right in the eye and say, "I love you." Period. Regardless. I want to stop and listen to my children, to the teenagers, to the young people, to my elders. To forgive and to forget when someone says to me, "I'm sorry I wronged you." Okay, we're good. To volunteer, to accept people the way they are. I should say that one again. To learn to accept people the way they are. Yes, I struggle with that one hard still. Faults, imperfections and all, just to straight out love sinners and to remember that I am a great sinner as well. To remember that I am loved by the One that showed weakness and is overcome with our love for us, and so we must be for our love with Him, and it will strengthen you and make you. You are not weak. Paul, writing his letter to the Romans, chapter 15, "We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weaks and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'Insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Amen! Have hope! I love being strengthened like that. You're not weak. Not when everything you have is based in Christ Jesus. Not when your life is based that way. I'll throw back to it. I hope somebody in their Bibles have underlined it. You have it written down. I know it almost by heart. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, wrote these great and famous words that ought to be something for us every time we're feeling weak. Matter of fact, turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. That's 1806 in the Pew Bibles. Greatest words I think Paul has ever written. He teaches us about our weaknesses right then and right there and what we have. These words took new meaning to me and a new level to me as I wrote this, because I know my weaknesses. To keep me from becoming conceited, I ought to have that tattooed on my forehead backwards so I can see it every morning when I look in the mirror. To keep me from becoming conceited. Yes, you're right. Shake your head, yes. That's a fear I have. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. He's saying the things that I am learning that are filling my heart to bursting is lifting me up to the point where I can become conceited. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Verse 8, underline it. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said no. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, with Him, then I am strong. That as I continue to look towards God's Son, as long as I continue to feel weak, as long as I continue to feel like I can lose it, it will force me to pray to Him constantly. Father, give me the message. Father, give me the message. What do You have for me? What can I do? Forces me to pray. And in that weakness of my own little mind, I become stronger toward Him. So that when somebody comes to me and says, I'm a little bit lost. Okay, great, let's pray. Let's get to work. I challenge you to the same thing. You are not weak. First of all, you want to know why? It takes strength and courage to stand up and admit to Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. Will You save me? It takes strength and courage to let the people around you know that I am not the person I once was. I am now belonging to, wholly and completely, bound forever to Jesus Christ our Lord, and I'll not be that person again. That is strength through weakness. It takes strength through weakness to live this every day and to love this every day, to be that child of Christ. That is strength, brothers and sisters, and you are overrun with it, regardless of how weak you feel. You are not weak. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how do we answer to those words written other than thank You? Other than at the bottom of where we're at, You're still there. He hung on a cross and died calling out to You to show us that we cannot get that low, that He is not there. That Jesus Christ is not there, that He is still our foundation of salvation. That we are all sinners in front of Him and yet loved. That He loved all, regardless of their sins. He knew they could be washed away. He knew that repentance could come and that new life could be found. And so, Father, strengthen us for that, that when we're feeling weak, that when we start to slip away, that we are strengthened. You hear every single word we say. Strengthen us as we go from here today, Father. Prepare us for what lies ahead, but don't show it to us. Strengthen our weakness by faith in You. Strengthen us. that we may show someone else that we may be your living Bible. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Strength. You need it. I need it. We all need it. And here's an easy way to start it. Right up here. You don't have to kneel down. Come up here and let me pray for you. Take strength to walk that far, to overcome that weakness of fear of being up here. But if you need that prayer, if you need that covering, if you need that today, as we sing this last hymn, please come up.
Please stand and turn to page 596.
God, I pray that those blessings befall you in this week to come. I pray that your path be straight and that you feel His undying, unchanging, ever-encompassing love. Now I pray blessings and grace upon you each and every one as you depart from here today, and blessings over the meal that we are to share afterwards. In Jesus' precious name, of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.